And I want you, ladies and gentlemen, to welcome to the big pitch stage our number one finalist, Ashley and Ryan Hunter with Call Light.
Hello, I'm Dr. Ashley Hunter, a family doctor, and this is Ryan, my husband, a computer programmer. We took our professional skills and put them together to invent Call Light. Call Light is an innovative application designed to improve patient satisfaction and nursing task lists within healthcare settings, such as nursing homes and hospitals. So Ryan's going to show us life without Call Light. Imagine he's been in an awful accident. He's in the hospital.
How am I going to beep?
Hello, how can I help you?
Can you send someone in? I really need to go to the bathroom and I need help.
Sure, we'll do that right away.
Help, someone, anyone. Oh no, too late.
Ryan goes on to make a full recovery, thankfully, and his patient satisfaction survey arrives in the mail a few weeks later.
Rate your experience on a scale from 1 to 10. Communication with the doctor, 9. Treatment of pain, give that a 10. Overall likelihood to recommend. I'll never forget about that incident. I'm going to give him a 4.
And just like that, his satisfaction scores go down the drain where his incident should have gone in the first place. Now, this might seem a little exaggerated to you, but things like this happen in nursing homes and hospitals around the country every day. Why? Because we're using an antiquated system to address the problem. This has consequences for millions of patients and thousands of facilities. In 2012, insurers started withholding reimbursements to facilities based on poor patient satisfaction scores. $850 million were actually withheld that year, and the amounts continued to increase. Currently, a secretary has to answer a phone call and then use a phone to relay the message to a nurse who might be comforting a dying patient or passing out medications. The nurse has to pick up the phone to get the information she needs. There are two big problems: A, the phone call, and B, the nurse is relying on a task list either written down on a piece of paper or running around in her head to know what she has to do for her patients. Inevitably, things can get lost.
Call Light addresses those problems and more. With Call Light, the secretary will receive a call from the patient and then send a task through the app to the appropriate provider. With a click, the nurse can pull up her customized task list. She can request help if she gets swamped, and she can mark the task done once she's completed it. Call Light decreases the time it takes to communicate patient needs efficiently and effectively. And it also invents a way for hospital administrators to track those response times. And using that data, they'll be able to better address gaps in patient care.
Patient scores will increase. Call Light, bringing patient satisfaction into the 21st century.
Well, thank you. Someone wanted to know who would be the winner for this year, and so we're not quite sure yet. We have the awards for 14, 15, 16, and 17, but 18 is a blank slate as of today. So welcome to the next stage, Ms. Esther Bryant with Safeable.
Hi, my name is Esther Bryant, and I want to invite you to imagine with me for a minute. Put yourself in your daughter's shoes. Picture you're walking to your car alone after a late night class, and you hear someone walking behind you. They've been following you for a few blocks, and their footsteps seem to be getting closer and closer and closer, and just as you reach into your purse, bam, he grabs your arm. You start shuffling around, looking for your phone to contact for help, and your purse falls. And you wish so desperately that there was a discreet way to contact your family, your friends, or even the police. Well, now there is. I introduce to you Safeable. Safeable is a small, discreet device that can be worn directly on the skin. It works by being connected to an app via Bluetooth. If you are in an unsafe situation, like someone's been following you for a few blocks, you'll click the button 3 or more times. This will send a message to your phone asking if you're okay. You can disarm this message by putting in a code, or if you do nothing for 30 seconds, it will send your location with a message to a predetermined list of family and friends. If you're in a really bad situation, like a night out with your girls gone wrong, then you'll hold the button for 3 or more seconds. You'll still get that "Are you okay?" message sent to your phone. But if no activity is received within 30 seconds, it will send your location to the police. As passionate as I am about this company, I'm not really reinventing the wheel. There's already a clip, a ring, a watch, and a necklace that basically do the same thing. The problem is that the clip isn't discreet. The ring is about the size of a quarter and will run you $250. That doesn't even include the monthly subscription. And the necklace and the watch just clash with everyday wear, like a Fitbit, an Apple Watch, or that necklace you got for Christmas. Safeable has found a way to overcome these obstacles. It's small and discreet, so the only person that knows its location on your body is you, and because it's worn under your clothing, it doesn't clash with everyday accessories. Not to mention, it's pretty affordable at $50 a unit, with double-sided replacement tape being sold for $10 a pack. After pitching this to investors, developers, and a business mentor, they suggested we do our first round of beta testing, which is actually live right now on Ball State's campus with a few college girls. Winning the big idea pitch for me would mean I get to move on to the next step. After much research, I realized it's going to cost about $3,000 to order 100 working units. So as you vote tonight, remember, you're voting for a better future. With 1 in 3 women being sexually harassed at some point in their life, you're voting for your sister, your daughter, or your wife to finally feel safe again. Thank you.
See, I told you they were good. Please welcome to the pitch stage our third pitcher, Victoria Brewer with Prepped. Play ball, Victoria.
I'm going to be the disappointment. I'd rather be bussing your tables for those of you that know me. All right. It's 5 o'clock on Monday night. You and your family spent the weekend running to volleyball practice, basketball practice, dance recitals, and other family activities. You're drafting your last email, calling your spouse to confirm the evening agenda, and then it hits you. You haven't been to the store, and you only have an hour before your son's practice is over, and you have to pick him up. You don't have enough time to get to the store, and even if you did, your family wouldn't be able to eat dinner until after 7, once you've prepped and cooked it. This is a reality for all of us. My name is Victoria Brewer. I'm the owner of Once Upon a Plate Catering. In addition to running a successful catering business, I also work full-time for Meridian Health Services, and I'm a single mom. If anyone understands your hectic schedule, it's me. Over time, we as a society have become disconnected from our families and lack simple human connection because of our electronics, that big iPhone. How many of you here tonight sit down to dinner with your families for an unplugged meal? I don't see any hands. I want to create opportunity for families to spend more time together, which is why I am launching my next business, Prepped. Chef-prepared, pre-portioned, heat-and-eat meals for your home. After a test run a year ago this time, we were able to serve a total of 320 families in a 2-week time period. In addition, we are currently working out final details to provide 1,400 meals a week for Ball State football, which would provide us $184,000 a year in revenue. Meridian Health Services is also considering utilizing this as part of their wellness initiative for over 1,000 employees. Our research confirms there is a dire need for this service. As a caterer, a lot of my friends, colleagues, acquaintances always say, "When can I try your food? When do you have leftovers?" I couldn't think of a better opportunity to let people try the food and create more revenue for myself. Prepped will make it easy and convenient for you to avoid a typical drive-thru by offering a delivery service or pickup service with nutrition built around your life. One meal or 10, hearty or healthy, we can meet your needs. Quality ingredients, healthier choices for the same price as McDonald's value meal. Let us prepare your meals in our already certified commercial kitchen. Let us do the planning for you. I want to improve society with this tiny solution. Let's get back to basics. Have a meal with our families. With a registered dietitian on staff, I'm going to offer healthy chef-prepared meals with flavor and convenience as a top priority that you can heat and eat within minutes. Perfectly portioned, balanced meals for you to enjoy together as a family in the calmness and comfort of your homes. Nothing brings people together like good food.
Okay, continue on to our fourth pitcher tonight. Please welcome to the big pitch stage, Kylie Mazur with Square One Success. Play ball.
Thank you. Coming close, I've got a secret. I know the best way to scare any high school student. Ask them where they plan to be after they graduate. When a high school student thinks about where they want to be in the future, they may think about what their parents do, or TV shows that they've seen, subjects that they do well in, or hobbies that they have. But it seems to be an absolute moment of stress, anxiety, and SOS when they actually have to make the decision. They have to think about where they go to college and what major they pursue, or if college is even right for them. Hi, I'm Kylie Mazur, and I'm the founder of Square One Success. Square One Success is a unique online platform that creates a valuable place for students to start and answer these questions. Our company will offer three different levels of membership that will help them gain insight into careers that could potentially fulfill their future goals and insights into themselves, what their skills are, what their strengths are, and their areas for improvement. Our 90-degree level, our basic membership, will offer access to our interviews. Interviews that help the audience enter into the career exploration and help bring a job shadow into the palm of their hands. Our interviews sit down with professionals to discuss what a day in the life of really looks like, what skills and education they needed, and what advice they have for students. Our 180-degree level membership, a step above, will then offer resources to help them learn about resumes and building their LinkedIn profiles, learn about networking and self-assessment tests, and interview do's and don'ts. Our 360-degree level membership will offer all this information and interviews, but will then connect students with an online career coach to help them look at their previous experiences and what results they've produced, and create an action plan to maximize their success and happiness in the future. My personal drive for this comes from my mom. She was a single mom raising three kind of crazy girls while working two jobs, volunteering, and was a friend, a mentor, and a community caregiver. A year ago, she passed away unexpectedly, and now I'm living each day realizing that she didn't have the chance to identify and reach her own career goals. She was never truly as happy as she truly could have been. You'd think that it would be easy with the number of resources that are out there, but the problem is that they're all over the place and there's not one good place to actually start. Student debt is currently in the trillions, and 85% of people claim that they're unhappy in their current role. But it's true that success and happiness can meet in the middle, and a person can pursue their own path. By helping teach students about the opportunities, resources, and tools that are already out there, we're helping them get rid of those SOS moments, and they're starting their success at square one. Thank you.
Excellent, excellent. Well, we have one more for you, and they're going to take just a second to get set up here. Don't you like the diverse type of ideas here? So next year, when the big idea pitch semifinals happen, when you see the things in the mail or things online about, hey, we're hosting this, it's open to the public. You should come and spend a couple hours with us. You will be amazed. So for our fifth and final presentation tonight, the pitchers, Lindsay and Andy Markels, with a very simple idea, Collar Keeper.
There's something that frustrates 66% of people who wear collared shirts. Do you know what it is? It's the pesky and evasive little top button. My name is Lindsay.
I'm Andy, and this is my closet. I'm a t-shirt and jeans kind of guy, but as an assistant professor at Ball State, I often wear collared shirts. But messing with this little top button to get shirts on and off the hanger drives me crazy. It's so annoying. Think about it, it takes two hands. So you're either trying to find a flat surface to lay the shirt down on, or you're awkwardly in your closet messing with the button like this, or sometimes I do it like this, or sometimes I put it in my mouth like this. It just drives me crazy. And for a while, I wondered if I was the only one with this problem. So naturally, as a researcher, I conducted a survey. And it turns out that some people aren't bothered by the button, but 66% are. In fact, 40% of collared shirt wearers find it so annoying they don't even button their shirts when hanging.
So here's the problem. It's annoying to button that top button, but if you don't, you're gonna end up with droopy collars and sloppy closets. Here's the solution. It's a hanger with an extension and two clips. This is the prototype of the patent-pending Collar Keeper. The Collar Keeper offers a simple improvement to an everyday household product and eliminates a daily frustration. With a Collar Keeper in one hand, you can simply slide the collar into the clips and you're done. The shirt stays on the hanger, the clips keep the collar loops pressed. There's a nice circular shape, so no sharp creases at the top of the collar, and it's really easy to take the shirt off of the hanger. Now, the Collar Keeper might be a simple product, but it is a big idea because the market is enormous and there's prospect of a domestic and international patent.
6 billion plastic hangers are sold every year, and that's just plastic hangers. Of course, the Collar Keeper can be created to match the variety of hangers on the market. Our next step is to manufacture a set of Collar Keepers for proof of concept. And we're gonna sell directly to consumers online while also looking for local retail partners, who can help highlight this product in their stores. Now, with the help of the Intellectual Property Clinic at Indiana University, we actually just filed a provisional patent last week, and that allowed us to make this public announcement while also protecting our ability to secure foreign patent.
Now, once we see that the product is viable on the market and we secure those patents, we hope to license the product in the US and abroad. Now, of course, many of you are wearing collared shirts tonight. Tomorrow morning when you're extra sleepy because you've been here all night and you're fumbling through your closet for something to wear and you're wrestling with that top button, we think you'll find yourself wishing you had something as simple as
the collar keeper.
We hope you'll help us bring it to market. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, could we do something? Could we give all of the pitchers one more round of applause? Now, as we continue to program, we're gonna welcome Mr. Ron Fockwer back to the stage, but I wanna just highlight something that happened last week. Last week at the Innovation Connector, we celebrated our 10th year anniversary of being in the facility at the Innovation Connector. And that was pretty cool. And so we got through the 10-year mark. But you know, since the beginning of the Innovation Connector, there's been dedicated people who have been part of it every single year since the beginning, especially on the board. And there one such individual was Ron Fockwer. Ron was one of the founding members of the board and of the organization, and has continued to serve as chairman of the board for most of that time. So in honor of Ron's dedication to the startup and to the ongoing success of the Innovation Connector, we dedicated a room suite, one of the conference rooms in Ron's honor, and it's the Ronald K. Fockwer Innovation Point Suite. And so we thought it was pretty cool just to honor him with that, but I would also like for you to give him a round of applause as he comes to the stage.
Thank you, Ted. That wasn't in the script, so I didn't see it coming.
He innovated.
Thank you very much. Quite an honor indeed. Well, wow, the diversity of the pitches. If you really kind of think about that, those are all ideas right here from our community. I love it, and if you're like me, you're kind of sitting back going, gosh, I wish I'd have thought of that. So get to know these people. They got ideas. As we move on with our program, I'd like to point out that 4 years ago, the Innovation Connector envisioned a community-wide event that celebrated the good things that are happening here in Muncie and around our community. We were convinced that innovation and ideas happen in all facets of life, business, organizations, nonprofits, throughout. Along with that, those ideas, several community businesses and organizations generously joined the Innovation Connector, and here we are today. Prior to today, 15 community members have received the Excellence in Innovation Award, and tonight we celebrate by honoring five more. So introducing the first two Excellence in Innovation Awards tonight is a longtime supporter and advisor to small businesses in our community, Mr. Dan Ridenour, Regional Lending Manager of Mutual Bank. Please welcome Dan to the stage.
Thank you, Ron. For our first Excellence in Innovation Award of the evening, we would like to honor a truly innovative company, a company that's constantly redefining the trust and investment industry with state-of-the-art software products. Accutech Systems Corporation has a proven method of see your needs, create solutions, and deliver results. And they've lived by those words for 30 years. President Adam Unger has led the corporation to a recent restructuring and has seen tremendous growth. They have increased sales by more than 100%. They have increased profits by more than 200%. They have also developed a 100% totally browser-based flagship product and eliminated all company debt. Let me repeat that. They've eliminated all company debt, which for a banker is not what we like to hear, but it's a smart thing, Adam. With over 250 clients in the wealth management industry and 75 employees, they are poised to double in size in the next 5 years, and that's great for our community. Accutech is leading the way to innovation and leadership, and with that obvious innovative style, we are happy to award Adam Unger and Accutech System with one of our 2018 Excellence in Innovation Awards. So I wasn't planning on saying anything, but they told me that would be weird. So here goes. I'm on the fly. Innovation's a funny thing, right? So it's really diving into the unique talents that God has gifted us with. And I think that's the core of the success of Accutech is that we truly feel like this is God's company and we're simply stewards of it. And the way that we do that, I look to one of my favorite quotes from Steve Jobs where he says, I don't hire really smart people so that I can tell them what to do. I hire really smart people so they can tell me what to do. And that's the way I view leadership at Accutech, is finding really great talent and then giving them the wherewithal, the environment to soar and really create great things. Why do we do that? It's not just for profit. So growth is great, but when we talk about growth, what really excites me is adding people to our team, because I know we have an amazing culture and I want more people to be a part of it. And I want to impact the community through that as well. So less than 24 months ago, we were 40 people. We're closing in on 80 by the end of this year. And we look like we've got another 20 on the roadmap for 2019. So we're excited about our growth, not just because of the revenue and the implications there, but because it means we get to serve more people. And that's what we're all about. And we're excited about this award because innovation to us is a means to service. So thank you.
For our second Excellence in Innovation Award, our recipient this evening is best known for their hands-on education techniques, along with innovative hairstyles, trends, and top-of-the-line products. Amber's Beauty School has been serving the Muncie community since 1936 as the preferred cosmetology school and destination for great salon services. Since taking over the family business in 2008, Brian and Brooke Shreve have built a new modernized facility in Muncie. They have used state-of-the-art technology and innovative salon training services. And what they've seen is they've seen their enrollment grow to where it's now over 60 students per year. Brooke and Brian have also invested in their students with apprenticeships to watch those students grow into permanent positions. Their influence has also expanded well beyond Muncie and Delaware County, which is good for us. They have now become the preferred cosmetology school in central Indiana. Brooke and Brian also own and operate, just for your information, the Redhead Salon in Muncie, and that provides also a direct avenue for those students to have opportunities. So Brooke and Brian are excellent examples of leadership, of innovation, and of professionalism, and that is why we are very, very happy today at the Innovation Connector, very proud to present a 2018 Excellence in Innovation Award to Brooke and Brian Shreve of Amber's Beauty School.
Thank you very much to Ted Baker and the Innovation Connector. It's a big year for us, our 82nd year in business. Very blessed to have great employees, instructors, a lot of awesome graduates, and customers. Thank you very much.
So thank you, Dan, and congratulations to Adam, Brooke, and Brian. You and your organizations actually make us very proud in this community. Thank you so much. Well, tonight we're in for kind of a special treat from our guest speaker. I know it's been a long time for at least some of us, but imagine with me, if you would, just a few minutes of what it must be like to be a teacher inside of a typical high school room today in 2018. As a teacher, you've heard all the complaints from the students for too many times. When am I ever going to use this in the real world? Why are we bothering to learn this? And when are we going to learn something interesting? But what if your students came to class excited? What if they were passionate about their projects? What if they grasp the connection between today's classwork and tomorrow's careers? In classrooms all across the nation, innovative teachers are discovering how passion-based open source learning can improve their students' education. And there is one man responsible for spreading the gospel, teaching the techniques, and demonstrating by example, not just across the nation, but indeed around the world. A Noblesville High School teacher, Don Wetrick, the author of Pure Genius, Building a Culture of Innovation and Taking 20% Time to the Next Level. Now, I'm sure many of us have read the works of Daniel Pink, the best-selling author of Drive, A Whole New Mind, Free Agent Nation, and his latest book, Win. But Daniel has this to say about Don Wetrick. He has incorporated a range of creativity generating concepts into his teaching, and he's turned the classroom into a modern-day innovation factory. Please welcome author, teacher, CEO, founder of the Start Ed Up Foundation, innovation consultant, and podcast host, a world traveler, and a fellow Hoosier, Mr. Don Wetrick.
Thank you. That will be played at my funeral. Thank you. That was wow. So they wanted me to fit this in like 15, 20 minutes, so it's going to be whirlwind, so here we go. First of all, my name is Don Wetrick, and I think that I often start with what innovation is to me, and it starts with when I decided to become a teacher. You see, I graduated from Ball State. Not going to say which major, because I ended up switching, but I had a job for 2 years, and I swore to myself I wouldn't be a teacher, because my sister's a teacher, also graduated from Ball State. My dad was a teacher. My mom was a stay-at-home mom, which makes her a teacher as well. And so I was like, it pained me to say, Dad, I think I'm going to go back and get a second degree, and I'm going to be in education. My dad never bad-mouthed education. He is a very positive man, still is this day. That's him, not the small guy. But my dad said something that really has lasted with me throughout my career, and he says, you know, I thought maybe he'd be mad. He's like, you know, Donnie, I don't care if you teach for the next 20 years. Just don't teach 1 year 20 times. And that, to me, is the heart of innovation in education. It is like whatever we've always done, the always done doesn't necessarily move us forward to the future. So that's when a lot of times I go, and yes, I'm asked to go now all over the world, and I'm proud of that. But I like to ask people, okay, especially teachers, why are you here? And sometimes they'll give me cliche answers like, to prepare them for high school or to prepare them for college. But the most basic answer and the most true answer is to prepare them for the future. And I said, okay, tell me in the future when we're going to sit in rows and desks. Tell me if the future, and we keep saying that, you know, the jobs of the future haven't been invented yet, who's going to invent them? People that are told to sit down and shut up? Or people that are to move around, to collaborate, to be innovative, to be able to try things, fail at it, and going, oh, that was pretty awesome, how do I go again? Because normally in my industry, if you get an F, now you can't get into that famous college. Yet no one else in the world works this way. No one. And I think that's why it's so important that we start taking a look at how we treat K-12 education. Because it's now a dire situation. We are growing in ways that we haven't seen before and at the speeds of which we haven't seen before in education. I'm sorry, and I'm a public educator now of 21 years. We don't move fast enough. We move in 10-year increments. And this is no longer acceptable because now we have a lot of students with has record high anxiety and depression and suicide rates. And I'm to blame. Because in a lot of ways, we have students that we have prepared, and when they got done, they said, now what? And like my friend at Square One, I completely echo your sentiments, they'll go through high school never knowing what they truly care about, what they love, because they go through and they have been told to sit down, shut your mouth, and memorize these things. Meanwhile, we have devices, we don't need to memorize things anymore. And so that's when I ask people, so how does education prepare us for the future? All the other companies have basically said, innovate or die. Kodak. They didn't innovate, they died. And so now, oh, and by the way, this is a shameless plug, I'm sorry. But I've been in the last 2 years interviewing some great, great people who are very passionate about education, who are deeply concerned about education. So this isn't just my pontification or role as a teacher, but there's some thought leaders out there, and I usually hate to use the word thought leader, but there's some thought leaders out there who are really, really starting to get deeply concerned. So we already know about the following that are obvious. Truck drivers, cashiers, assembly workers, even accountants in some cases, retail. This was a picture I took a couple weeks ago. My son, Grant, like wanted to use the kiosk. I felt bad for the lady. I'm like, no, let's use her. And he's like, no. But these are jobs that are going to be seriously diminished. And then you've got things that are not so obvious. Like a lot of people now, like the average sports story on AP is written by an algorithm. It's by a bot. And whether we like it, the number one concert venue is a guy that gets out a Macintosh, presses the space bar, and does this for 2 hours. It's a very, very scary time that we need for our students to be aware of. And in short, this is why I cannot stand when we talk about school improvement plans. We need a school improvement plan. You don't need to keep improving school. You need new opportunities. And so one of the things that I decided to do, ironically enough, after watching Dan Pink's TED Talk and then having to work with him a little bit, one of my missions, this is deeply important to me, is I want to create seekers and peakers, not moaners and groaners. Now, that makes me sound a little bit like Johnny Cochran, but let me explain. Anybody know? Do you remember Johnny? A few gloves must have quit. Thank you. Appreciate it. But seekers and peakers are everything. Opportunity seekers is when you get a group of people, in my case, 16 to 18-year-olds, and they start looking out for opportunities. Matter of fact, they usually listen to the moaners and groaners. I think America's biggest waste of time is for you to get on Facebook and take time to be offended. If you want to look for what's wrong in the world, you're going to find it. If you're going to look for reasons to not like politics, you're going to find it. However, if you look for problems to solve, if you see opportunities in everything, you're going to find it. We just had awesome examples of simple problems and complex problems that they took time to say. I'm sitting with a guy, by the way, I forget your name, he's jotting down notes the whole time. These are seekers. Now here's what gets me excited. Peakers, though, are when you congregate. People like at the Innovation Connector. When you start keeping company with people that are innovative, you become peakers. And by that, you can peek around the corner and see what's coming next. Because you share information. I had some students that were investing in Bitcoin 5 years ago. We started the nation's first esports team 3 years ago because they told me it's going to be a big deal. They were right. Now, so we've also struck out on some things, but these peakers become so, so, so important. That and the other thing is that whether we like it or not, by 2020, this is according to law sources, but I'm quoting Forbes here, by 2020, year away, half the nation's jobs will be freelance or gig economy. The people that are freelancing seek opportunities. The people, the youngsters that sit patiently with their hands clasped, waiting for things to happen, waiting to be assigned something, they're getting left behind. And it's that kind of mindset that we have to pursue in our kids, to go out and get yours, not rely on other people or government. It's toxic. Matter of fact, we are just out. I've got to fully admit, I was riding my daughter's coattails. My daughter got invited to the UN Economic World Forum this year. And the number one thing discussed, especially in developing nations like Africa and China, was getting the students, youngsters there, to think like entrepreneurs and then do it. So this is one of these reasons why I think it's so dead serious. My personal take on this is that I'm a big fan of the 20% time model in elementary schools. 20% time is basically when you're allowed a small portion of your week to look at things, and it's basically like a glorified show and tell. But a lot of times you get to do stuff. You get to collaborate with other students. And then lastly, I think mine, what I do is what's called innovation and open source learning. It's all week. It's all we do. My class is 9 weeks. I teach you how to think for yourself. I teach you how to reframe problems. I teach you how to open source your learning. Like if you want to learn, like right now what's hot is blockchain and blockchain development. I don't know how to develop blockchain. But we open source our learning. We start, especially you said LinkedIn. LinkedIn has been a gold mine. And I have my students connect with people that are awesome on LinkedIn. By the way, how many 17-year-olds are on LinkedIn? Not many. But if they're working on something that's worthwhile, they get people's attention and they want to collaborate with them. And that's why I'm begging more high schools across anywhere I can see that this is such a desperate need for this type of class to be implemented in high schools. The other thing is that we always have a basic rule of thirds, and this is something that we live by in our class. The thing you start off with is, are you passionate about it? Are you passionate about crypto? Are you passionate about esports? Whatever. But number two, what skills will you develop in pursuit of this project? And then lastly, who will it serve other than yourself? I love it when my kids can be entrepreneurial. I just don't like it when they're assholes. So therefore, I want them to be able to, everything here is like, and all the pitches tonight, we're gonna benefit other people. And I think that's really important to us because we're now living in a different type of society where conscious capitalism is going to win over, especially hearts. So I'm going to briefly go over, this is, I hate to say this, this is humble brag stuff because this is some of the things that my students have done, just so you don't think I'm a complete liar. So I wanted to show you some evidence. But these are the F's of the future. I embrace the F culture. Freedom, failure, fear, find your mission, fiction, friction, fun, flow, and forge your purpose. Number one, freedom. When you allow kids to work on the things that they are really passionate about, that freedom is what they want to pursue. This is an example of a girl that became the food stamp coordinator, the food stamp coordinator for Noblesville because she used laser engravers. She worked with the EBT community. Basically, she prototyped essentially wooden coins, and she got people of poverty to be introduced to the local farmers market to eat healthier. Really pretty cool. Failure. Everything we do is embraced on failure because if you do something the first time and you win, it wasn't difficult. And every time I tell that to people, I think of, like, how many people here have played Fortnite? You weren't good at first. Whenever you play a video game, and if you ask any kid, if you slap down 80 bucks, actually most video games now are free. I use my air quotes free. I've spent $150 now on Fortnite. But if you beat the game on your first try, it wasn't a good game. But if you take a class and you get an A on your first try, was it really a challenge? No. And so I really have them embrace failure. I don't grade them on the final product. I grade them on the project and then on reflection. Three, fear. Get over your fear of asking. We have been able to connect with some of the awesome people because you know that's we couldn't get a hold of Tim Ferriss. And then finally, we took a picture. Like, he wouldn't respond to us. We took his picture that we were all sad, and we're like, hey, at Tim Ferriss, you keep ignoring my kids. And he got back with us. This is us talking to Dan because we kept asking, get over that fear. Four, find your mission. I've got two students that are like literally currently building a school in Africa because they wanted to do it because they met a guy who lived in a village and it was remote in Ghana. And this is something that they decided to work on. Matter of fact, one graduated in December and moved out there. So they are on a mission. Five, friction. Who are you making mad? One of my students 2 years ago started to work with the city to cut down on light pollution because I know now a lot about external illumination. We have what's called acorn lights, and they're very decorative, but they light upward and not downward. And she wanted to get the city to retrofit everything to downward firing head Cobra LED lenses. And to which they said, that's too expensive. But she's really made a lot of people mad along the way, and she started to testify before, you know, committees and all this sort of stuff. But now she's working with developers that, just like your appliance can be Energy Star rated, she's wanting to get new neighborhoods Energy Star approved for both energy conservation and light pollution by having downward firing head Cobra LED lenses. But it's just been so fun to have her make so many people mad. Four, or six, fun. I mean this, I want my students to be running to my class and dragging their feet on the way out because we strive to make our class fun. Challenging, yes, but fun. And that's why I always give so many video game references, which again, we've started a lot of esports clubs and actually if you want to make good money, the esports industry is exploding. But we want it to be fun. And then six, and this is where it gets weird, is that we really, really believe in flow theory. This is where I'm just, this is just like a tip of the day, so you can think that I'm, well, you already think that I'm nuts. But number one, like, this is something that our students, I try to get them to do, we live by. Number one, get 30 minutes of exercise in the morning, at least walk briskly. Number two, we start off every class between a 5 to 7 minute meditation. It clears your mind, it reduces anxiety. And then three, that daily three list that we get to, if you get to that first thing in the morning, you are so much more productive. And these last two things, I'm telling you, this will change your life. By the way, I got this idea from Sean Acker from a TED Talk. Number one, send an email of gratitude or a DM a day. and it cannot be the same person in 365 days. What is really difficult about that is the first couple days, my wife, you know, my friend, whatever. But after that, you have to scan your world on what's right. When we're out there looking for how to be bothered and angered and triggered, we're also looking for things that are making us mad. If you see a kid and he drops his folder and his pencils go everywhere, that girl that picks up the books, send her an email. I saw what you did. By spreading gratitude, you are seeing, first of all, you're training your brain to see what's right instead of what makes you mad. And secondly, you create bonds of trust where people want to work with you in the future. And then lastly, I send an email to myself every night about my daily three next, tomorrow's list. Eight is forge your purpose. This is where I have not enough time to get emotional, so I'll breeze through this. Our kids find purpose. This is what gets me up in the morning, gets me excited. This is Robert. Robert, Robert's mom was murdered by his dad, and then killed the neighbor trying to break it up, and tried to kill Robert on his sixth birthday. And then he killed him, this dad killed himself. And so this was after some years of therapy, but now Robert wants to be an example for young black men to not glorify gun violence. And then he has now kind of a fashion show for young men dressing and acting professionally. That's his mission. And then lastly, there's a student of mine who's got a podcast called Mentors. She's with me today. I've got two former students here today. And Mentors was basically introducing Gen Z to better mentors. Because she was listening to the radio, and everybody was talking about a Kardashian or et cetera. And she's like, no one knows who Naveen Jain is. No one knows who Peter Diamandis is. And if you're thinking, neither do I, well then great, listen to our podcast. But it's called Mentors, but it gives me such joy that they're forging their purpose and they want to make society better because they have an hour and a half every other day in class to do it. Would they have time to do this on their own? I don't know. But that is why I feel the class is so, so, so valuable. Lastly, and one of my favorite things is the class has had so much success. We've had 4 patents filed from the classroom, by the way. Several startups started. But the Indiana Economic Development Corporation asked that we have our own nonprofit, which we do now. And one of the things that we're excited about is once a month, and we're spreading now to 9 cities, Muncie being one of them. Thanks, Ted. We're good, right? Okay, we're good. All right. But once a month, we have our students. We're averaging about 60-ish from different high schools, and we have basically, one, we have a 5-minute soft skill of the month, so our students learn how to get off their phone, shake hands, find mentors, make connections, etc. But then we have a reverse Shark Tank, and that is we always invite a small nonprofit to come in and make their pitch deck of who they are, but what they are lacking, what their needs are, what they need help with. And we love this because our high school students know that their ideas have merit. They start making connections. And so they have 30 minutes to hear their product or hear their problem. They go off in several teams, whiteboard some solutions, have 4 minutes to pitch, have 1 minute of Q&A. One of the best things I heard, hopefully no one's too young in the audience, one of the best things I heard all year last year is a girl came up to me, I didn't know her, she's like, did you help start this? I said, yeah. She's like, I want to thank you. I said, awesome. What do you think? And she's like, no one's here to get drunk or laid. Everybody here is here to make a difference. And this feels good. And then they started telling other kids to come. It is a wholesome thing where kids can come together. And so the IEDC asked us to spread that. And so we're going to be spreading it in 9 different areas throughout the state because we want our students. Because, by the way, a lot of schools don't offer this kind of class yet. So we can offer this off-school time for our school or our kids to come together, learn about problems, have some solutions, and then do something about it. Lastly, I have a bunch of soon-to-be entrepreneurs. These are students that aren't there yet, but with your help, a lot of times they can be. Last point is, I think when we talk about co-working spaces, and I love co-working spaces, I do. But I think if we start re-seeing and repurposing some of our high schools, There is a co-working space. There is an incubator, accelerator in every single town in America, and it is our high schools. If we stop teaching it as a conformity factory, if we start focusing on innovation, I don't mean to sound like the guy in Silicon Valley, but we can change the world, is if we use that precious time and resource in our schools. If you ever want to get hold of me, I take this very, 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 very seriously. You can always get a hold of me. You can email me. Hey, that's Avis there too. You can follow me. Also, our foundation. Heck, call me, 317-488-7040. I want this to grow, and I want more students in Muncie, in Anderson, in Richmond to have these kind of opportunities, because I think that they can truly make a deep, deep impact. Thank you.
Change occurs when a person has an idea, has a passion about that idea, fights through the friction, and makes it happen. And I think you're seeing it happen right here pretty close to home. So thank you, Don, for what you're doing to lead our youth to an innovative future. Now, we have three additional Excellence in Innovation Awards that we'd like to make. Remarkable people doing remarkable things right here at home. To announce those awards, we have two other pretty remarkable people and innovative leaders to do the honors. I'd like to welcome to the stage Richard Crist, an entrepreneur in his own right and now Chief Operating Officer of Weininger & Company, and Kirsten Smith, Associate Director for the Center for Information and Communication Sciences at Ball State, Chair of the Women Working in Technology Initiative, and a board member of the Innovation Connector. Please welcome Richard Crist and Kirsten Smith.
I'm Kirsten, in case you're confused. So not all news or all news sources are created equal. And it's not news that some news publication sources are in a steep decline with the emergence of the internet and social media. Enter themuncejournal.com. In 2015, Mike Rhodes, Jay Chapman, and a number of other business leaders in the community felt as though some print media outlets had a tendency to portray the community in a less than positive light. Instead of including stories of the hardworking, talented people of this community, there was a focus on wrongdoing, corruption, or general malfeasance. MuncieJournal.com tells the stories that don't always make it to print. It focuses on communicating good news and sharing the positive light on this region that so many people call home. MuncieJournal.com is the primary good news source for Muncie and Delaware County. Their focus is on three main things in our community: the progress of economic development, education, and quality of life. Since its launch on July 1st, 2015, the Muncie Journal has published more than 2,400 stories, most of which were submitted by a partner, user, or a local nonprofit organization. And the good news is, it's all free to the readers. Mike Rhodes is the publisher and managing editor of MuncieJournal.com. He's lived in Muncie since graduating from Ball State in 1980 with a bachelor's degree in journalism. Go CCIM College. No offense to any other colleges here for Ball State. He has played a major role in kicking off this and other community website initiatives, including the very first website and corporate intranet launch for Ball Memorial Hospital. Even though MuncieJournal.com publishes stories about Muncie and Delaware County, viewership is growing at a very rapid rate, up 30% in just the last year. The top 10 cities with the most viewers are Muncie, Indianapolis, Fishers, Carmel, Chicago, Anderson, Yorktown, Louisville, Fort Wayne, and New York City. Mike Rhodes has been the innovative leader behind the Muncie Journal since it began. Mike continues to innovate, and he's currently putting the final touches on a project that will enable Muncie Journal stories to be read out loud by Amazon's Alexa-enabled services. And I'm sure my mother thanks you. Through analytics and other feedback, it is obvious this project is working for Delaware County. The Muncie Journal is still being published today because our community loves telling and hearing stories about positive growth and opportunity. It's because of his innovative and keen insight that the Muncie community that the Innovation Connector is pleased to present Mike Rhodes and the Woof Boom Radio team with an Excellence Innovation Award for 2018. And please also welcome Jay Chapman to the stage with Mike Rhodes.
I'm certainly honored and humbled to receive the award this evening. So thank you very much, Kirsten, Ted Baker of the Innovation Connector. First, I want to congratulate Ball State University's entrepreneurship program for being ranked 12th in the nation. That is Muncie Journal's lead story today. Every month I receive hundreds of submissions from across the country wanting to be considered for inclusion in the Muncie Journal. I'd like to mention an item that I received that I did not publish, since it was not Muncie or Delaware County related, but is relevant to this evening's celebration. One day I received a piece from Mark Cuban's organization about a book Mark had written titled, How Any Kid Can Start a Business. The book is partially about common childhood traits shared by entrepreneurs, so I thought I would share a few of those statistics with you. Mark wrote, nearly 7% of entrepreneurs started their first business before they were 10 years old. The oldest children are the most likely to become entrepreneurs. 34% of entrepreneurs are the oldest children, compared to 27% of middle children and 29% of the youngest children. 53% of entrepreneurs say that moving around a lot as kids made them comfortable with instability, and 78% moved at least once or twice. As an entrepreneur, instability is kind of one of those things you would go through every day. Lastly, the most common ways entrepreneurs describe themselves as children. 49% said they were nerdy. 58% said they were shy. 53% said they were insecure. 64% said they were social. And 67% said they were careful, as opposed to risk takers. If you'd like more information on that book, you can email me at muncyjournal@wolfboom.com, and I'd be happy to share the information with you. At this time, I would like to introduce Jay Chapman, president of Woof Boom Radio.
You know, there's always a place for a good idea, and the Muncie Journal is a good idea because when we talked about this with a lot of people throughout the community 4 years ago, it was about what is possible. And so for that, we're very grateful because it helps us always reframe how we look at things. But it doesn't happen without a couple of things. One of those is tenacity, and Mike Rhodes has been tenacious in his pursuit in terms of making this come alive. And it wouldn't have gotten to this point without his effort and hard work. The other thing is belief. And not only does Mike have belief, but others in our community believed in this project. And good ideas, there are many of them, but if you don't get people to advocate for it, and we had a number of those in the early days of this, whether it was Jay Julian with the Chamber or the other founding partners to stand behind it, it's tough to get it off the ground. And so for every good idea that's out there, they need people that are tenacious and that believe in it. We're fortunate we have those things. And we thank you for the support this year.
Good evening. If I could take just a brief moment, I want to note that in 2008, when I started my own firm, consulting firm, I started at the Innovation Connector. For a few weeks, I started at my dining room table, and that was short-lived, as both my wife and my daughters were very disconcerted by that whole activity of why is dad home all the time, and he needs to go work somewhere. And so, And really, starting the Innovation Connector for me was an opportunity to both get my business off the ground, as well as then serve the Innovation Connector and the clients there and get connected with that. And I always likened it to the fact that it was like being at the busiest intersection in town for what was going on. There was always someone coming in to the Innovation Connector, whether it was someone who was going to invest or someone who was already in existing business. There was just always a lot going on, and for new business, it was a great place to be. And so I personally appreciate all that the Innovation Connector has been and become, and I owe a debt of gratitude to them for what I'm doing now, and so I appreciate that. I get the opportunity tonight to award our fourth Excellence in Innovation Award. The next recipient is best known in our community for custom-designed jewelry that combines classic elegance with everyday casual, bringing innovative ideas to every ring, necklace, bracelet, and earring. Heidi Hale of Heidi J. Hale Designs and Details is the innovator behind this creative success story. Since her start in 2002, Heidi has sold thousands of items all over the world, starting with her very first piece as a gift to her mother. I think there was probably some passion there in that first start. The great thing about it all is that everything is made right here in Muncie by local metalsmiths and artisans. In 2015, Heidi J. Hale Designs and Details opened their first retail store in the heart of downtown Muncie. It's also the home to their studio where every piece of jewelry is created. There you can find the most exclusive and one-of-a-kind pieces not sold online. I didn't know that. With many wholesale clients across the country and online sales soaring, this local business has become a global success with a respected and growing brand name. The Innovation Connector is proud to honor Heidi Hale of Heidi J. Hale Designs and Details with one of our 2018 Excellence in Innovation Awards.
To Ted Baker, the Innovation Connection. It was a huge surprise to get this award. In October, I traveled to Memphis, Tennessee to the FedEx World Headquarters. They picked 10 e-commerce companies across the United States. I was the only one in the Midwest. Most were on the East Coast and on the West Coast, and it's funny, we had all the executive lines up, and they're there to pick our brains because they want to invest in small businesses and the entrepreneurs. For some reason, they have this like grudge against the biggest online retailer ever. I don't know why. So they're focusing on us. And so one of the girls, Harvard graduate, who started her own company, raised her hand and said, can we please change the name of this, instead of small business, to entrepreneur? And so they're like, you know, we've heard that is a issue. Some people do not like small business name. Some people do not like entrepreneur, and it goes back and forth. So the executives asked each one of us. It was like, I prefer entrepreneur, I prefer entrepreneur, I prefer entrepreneur. And they said, Heidi, what about you? And I was like, just call me grateful. Call me grateful. I don't care what you guys refer to me as. I am grateful. I said, for numerous reasons, because I am the only one in the Midwest. These guys are paying a lot more for rent property taxes. And because they're paying that, they have to ship their production overseas. I am investing our money into artists, local employees, and Ball State graduates. We have, thanks. Thanks. So all the artists, everyone at my table works at Heidi J. Hale Designs. And what I have soon realized is that I can't do this alone. I have the idea, I have the creativity, but just like all of you out there, we can't do it alone. Muncie, Indiana is a great place to find hardworking workers, employees, I consider them partners. And for all you starting up a business or all you students out there, whoever, don't be afraid of the Midwest. It is an amazing place to start a business and stay there, especially for e-commerce. A lot of perks living in the Midwest. They don't think so, but there is. So also, Mike Rhodes, where are you? Thank you for that little olive and slate piece. Many of you might not know that because our storefront took off and was so successful, we opened up Olive and Slate because we thought, somebody has got to do this. They're nuts not to. We have had a huge success with Olive and Slate, and I appreciate everyone that goes downtown and shops small business. Thank you.
What great stories, all of these. Our last award tonight goes to Steve Smith and Midwest Metal. Over the years, changes in the steel and metal industry, as well as the retail environment, have forced industries to evolve or become extinct. This next award recipient is no stranger to innovating the company's core business model to survive and to thrive. Midwest Metal Products Company Incorporated is the leading provider of pet homes in the United States. Steve Smith serves as a CEO and chairman of the board for Midwest Metal. Steve has seen and responded to the emergence of foreign outsourcing and the entry of big box stores and online sales to the retail marketplace. With all these changes, Midwest Metal Products shifted in order for the business to not only survive, but to excel. All of the Midwest Metal products are distinguished by innovative design and construction. Equally innovative is how their pet homes and accessories fulfill the specific needs regarding pet comfort, health, and well-being. Through innovating their processes and developing product efficiencies, Midwest Metal is able to pass on those cost savings to their customers in the form of lower prices. Innovation continues at Midwest Metal beyond their work in wire and metal, with textiles and with state-of-the-art powder coating processes. Steve and Midwest Metal lead the way for area manufacturers to innovate and rise above the unforeseen and challenging circumstances. So tonight, we honor Steve M. Smith with a 2018 Excellence in Innovation Award.
First off, thank you, Ted and the Innovation Connector. Very happy and very proud to be the recipient this year. Midwest Metal Products was born July 7th, 1921. 1995, we implemented a robotic system, 4 cells, 16 robots. We took the labor out of making a pet home. You would refer to it as a pet crate, a pet cage, but we refer to it as a pet home. Through this process, we had 16 robots, and anybody that says they're the best quality in the industry usually means they're the most automated, because you have sensors on these machines. If something doesn't work right, it shuts it right down. And then you have to fix the problem, where if you have employees, they'll forge the part in, they'll do whatever to get the production out. So this worked great. We became the world's, or not the world's, but the United States' largest home builder for dogs and cats in the United States. Okay, globalization hit. 1995, the price of wire steel is what our main cost component was 20.5 cents a pound. By 2001, the price went up to 35 cents a pound. Everywhere in the world, but in China, the price stayed at 20.5 cents. The steel industry is heavily subsidized by the federal government in China. So that forced us to start transitioning over. It was, I mean, our customers loved us, but they said, you gotta get, I mean, they cut the price, so you gotta get more competitive. So we started transitioning the business over to China. We had to, or was that, or go out of business. So at that stage, 2001, China was probably about late 1940s technologically. So we started implementing our process over there. And then another factor had to be, we couldn't have our product turn into a commodity. So we started innovating, and now we have over 100 patents. And I know your eyes are rolling, 100 patents on a pet home. Get realistic, but we did. We copyrighted things, we trademarked things, and that was the way that we could differentiate our product. And so after this time, I mean, today I'm proud to say we're the largest home builder for dogs and cats in England, Israel, China, and Australia. So we're a small fish swimming in with a bunch of sharks. And so how federal policy at that time, I mean, inflation was not rampant in the United States, but it was to go to the lowest cost producer. So that's why everything kind of shifted to China. And we were about ready to start bringing this stuff back to the United States, but then when Donald Trump and did the tariffs of 25%, our price of wire here in the United States went from 36 cents up to 45 cents. So we're kind of on hold waiting for this to figure out what happens. The video you saw, we still have 20% of our stuff here in the United States. So we use that automated equipment that we had to make other products. You go into a convenience store, you open up the refrigeration rack, there's usually a shelf there, it's either wire or sheet metal, and we will make those. We have a customer in the United States. Ironing boards, all the wire parts that go on an ironing board we make. There's an ironing board manufacturer down in southern Indiana, and you won't believe, but they make 6,000 ironing boards a day. I think they're about the only one left in the United States. They go to hotel rooms and college students. Going to say, hey, my shirts are all perma-pressed, so I don't have to iron anymore. But again, to Ted and everyone, I want to thank you very much.
So thank you, Richard and Kirsten, and congratulations to Mike Rhodes, Heidi Hale, Steve Smith. Your organizations stand out as beacons in our community, beacons of inspiration to the rest of us. And how many of you learned something tonight, you know, about those? Yeah. So we're down to what you've been waiting for. And before I get there, I'd like to introduce a couple of really dynamic women that, you know, when things like this occur, and when organizations like this are successful, there's somebody behind the scenes that's doing the organization, running the show, carrying out the programs, and often emptying the trash. And in that, our director of finance, Lori Albert, who did not want to come up here and does not want me to call on her, and Alexis Dishman, our administrative director, is here to help. They're the people who make this all happen. So the point we've gotten to is the point you've been waiting for. The judges have made their decisions. We know what the order of the finish is. I have to tell you, it was very, very close. 11 judges, and we got down to where there were parsing points across the individual winner. So each of the five place award winners tonight receive a cash prize and a pretty unique trophy and professional business services to help them take that idea and be successful right here at home and create those jobs. So we'll move quickly through these. I would ask the competitors and the competition to come to the stage. And the truth of the matter is, these are all winners tonight because they beat out 40 other business pitches 1 week ago in a semifinals. In fifth place, Prepped Victoria Brewer. Now they're all coming out, so, and Victoria gets a check for $1,000 and the trophy and for services. So, please come up. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you.
In fourth place, with $1,500 cash prize, Square One Success, Kylie Mazur. In third place, $2,000 cash prize, Call Light, Ashley and Ryan Hunter. Now when I announce the second place, you're gonna know who the first place is. So we'll invite them to come up here together. Second place, Safeable, Esther Bryant. First place, Collar Keeper, Lindsay and Andy Markell. So in that, second place receives a $2,500 cash prize and first place a $5,000 cash prize. Congratulations to all of our finalists. We're rooting for all of you as you pursue your business ideas, and the Innovation Connector stands ready to help in any way we can as you get your business off the ground. Now for the closing remarks, the guy that leads the Innovation Connector, he keeps the trains running, he keeps all the balls up in the air, and this event is his brainchild, the executive director of the Innovation Connector, Mr. Ted Baker.
I just have a few closing remarks. I just want to thank you for coming tonight. I really do. This is real meaningful to our community, and your investment in this evening is very meaningful. We always say this is an event like no other event. We'll try to keep it moving. We have a lot of different moving parts, and so I hope you've enjoyed your time. I want you to understand that the Innovation Connector is moving quickly forward to do what we can to inspire and to move innovation and entrepreneurship forward in our community. You know, we don't do it alone. We have teamed up with so many different partners and partner organizations in order to do what we do, to try to do it the best that we can. Our goal is real simple. We help people. We help people. Our platform is business and leadership development with the Schaefer Leadership Academy. Our goal is to really help people attain dreams and goals that they never thought were possible. Kind of like a Heidi Hale, who decided to make a piece of jewelry for her mother, I believe it was, or grandmother. And the next thing you know, all of a sudden, she has a very established and a very cool business in this community. What we want to do is we want to see many more Heidis like that. We want to see the people who pitched tonight, we want to see their businesses start. And it's all about taking that next step. And so we stand ready to do what we can to grow or help those businesses grow and thrive. The other thing that we're committed to is working on a regional basis. We know that Muncie is not by itself. And so we are working really hard with different organizations and entities in the surrounding counties and within Indiana to see what we can do in order to join forces. We have representatives here from the Venture Club of Indiana, which I serve with, reaching all throughout Indiana. I work with the Northeast Indiana Innovation Association, and Carl LePan leads that group in Fort Wayne. We're teaming up as many places that we can in order to bring the best that we can to not only Muncie, Delaware County, but for Indiana. Our community is growing in its entrepreneurial footprint. When I first started at the Innovation Connector, just a little over eight years ago, this is my eighth year, I guess, or now I think it's my ninth year with the Innovation Connector, excuse me, we were almost the only game in town. It's not that way anymore. And someone asked me, said, well, you know, what are you going to do with all this competition? And I say, I think we call them partners. There's plenty of work to go around for everybody, and there's a lot of places that can reach people that we can't, and we can reach people that other people can't. And so we're looking at whatever we can do to increase the entrepreneurial footprint of our community. My goal is to be an ecosystem builder and something that we can be proud of to say our community is moving forward together. And so when you think of the Innovation Connector, I want you to think of an organization that is about partnerships and about working together with whatever entity it is in this community, because we want to see the same results. We want to see our community succeed. And so before I leave or before we dismiss and such, I have some door prizes that I'd give away, okay? Now, we did this, and we did it, Lori and I did this when we were tallying the judges' scores. Everybody likes this, right, this stuff? But I wanted to, we picked the people and the names out and attached them to different door prizes. And so Karen Lloyd, where's Karen? Is she already out there? Karen has been with us. She's helped us through this event, kind of our run of show person, but she'll be out on the table and you can stop by and get your prize. And on your table, there's little table tents here of the different places that have donated and such. I'm gonna tell you, there's some really nice things. And so I won't tell you what they got, but I'll just tell you who are out there. So we have Holly Tetralt, is that right? Make sense? Jackie Christ, she won something, Richard. Paula Hunter, this wasn't rigged, it's Steve Lindell. I mean Steve Lindell, okay. Roger Wells, Mr. Mark Slusher, Angie Conlin, and Bill Markells, who came all the way from Alaska to be here today. So so make sure you claim your prizes. To all of our award winners tonight, we ask that you kind of meet over here for some final pictures. If you want pictures taken with your family or friends, we'll have a photographer over there to help you out. Now, just a final comment. How can you help us out? What can you do for us? Well, the question is, what can we do for you? We want to help you out. We want us to work together to make this community a better community. And so please refer friends and family to us. We always talk about we're the front door of entrepreneurship, the gateway of entrepreneurship. You send them through our front doors, and they're not going to be disappointed. We can't help everyone, but boy, there are people that we work with that can help people that we can. So we'll give you that promise. If you send them, they will be taken care of one way or the other. I want to thank all of the people who made this event possible. A lot of people, a lot of moving parts, as you can see. And the Horizon Convention Center staff, the Ball State Entrepreneurship students who have some of their displays in the back, please make sure you visit those. And all of the people who have made this a success, thank you very much, and drive safely and have a good evening. Thank you for coming.